John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, writing his column Wonderland most recently to observe the conduct of 100 CEOs, significant publicly traded companies across America, coming together on a Zoom meeting to discuss events that are attached to Georgia, but point to a future in which these CEOs, goes the presentation, are concerned about voting rights in America. This following the controversy over the decision by the Georgia legislature to correct or augment voting rights in Georgia. That led to the controversy of Major League Baseball leaving Atlanta, where the All-Star game was scheduled, and going to Denver. Dan wrote about this recently, but now the whole matter is accelerated into these CEOs making a statement that, Dan, a very good evening to you. What can you discern from this statement that the CEOs wanted to accomplish? Who's their audience for saying they're for voting rights? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, that's an excellent question. Who exactly do they think their audience is, other than perhaps each other? I mean, when I wrote about this weekend Zoom meeting for my column this week, I likened it to the Zoom version of going to Davos, the famous World Economic Forum held annually, full of CEOs who show up to, quote unquote, address the world's problems, which they do in Switzerland. But primarily, it is an exercise in validating their status as being at the top of the heap. And being at the top of the heap comes with, shall we say, an extraordinary degree of high-mindedness and sanctimony. And that was what was on display in this Zoom meeting. Problem is that in gathering to talk about state voting laws and the future, as they say, of our democracy, they were only really criticizing Republican state voting laws. And it struck me that, like, the air in Davos, Switzerland, the air on Zoom seems to be quite thin and create a kind of dizziness that transformed these guys into politically oblivious participants. I mean, they're talking and they're bolting themselves to the Democratic Party. And the Democrats are doing this because they want to override 50 state election laws and pass H.R. 1, the federalization of national election laws. But these CEOs are acting as though the Democrats have a strong majority and are going to have a strong majority for, say, the next 8 years. Excuse me, gentlemen. The Senate is divided 50-50. The Democrats have a 6-seat majority in the House. The way things are going, they're likely to lose control. Democrats are likely to lose control of the House in 2 years. So whatever might be said for the intentions of these CEOs, I think they're doing damage to themselves and their interests. Usually they're better at that, but I guess they have to be in meetings about spending their own money rather than pie in the sky to make sense.
Dan, there was a time in the 20th century, I remember the lesson again and again, business is not about partisanship. You have to sell to everyone. That's a major consideration for why discrimination laws were foolishness. They were anti-capitalist. They damaged the publicly held Trump companies. And everybody said, oh, yeah, they woke up to it. And publicly traded companies stopped discrimination, stopped segregation, and prospered. What's happened to that understanding that partisanship is not the way forward?
Well, I think some of that has to do with the people who work for these corporations. You know, you get these younger woke employees and they get on corporate chat platforms and they do bring pressure on the people at the top who at the moment seem unable to stand up to it. And it's always... It's just the most extraordinarily shrewd tactic by the organized left, John. They always couch these strategies in moral or moralistic terms. And so it throws their opposition back on the position of having to make an argument that seems to somehow exempt one from this high-minded moralism. And CEOs, you know, John, they're all spending tens of millions of dollars defending brands, defending names, and they're extraordinarily fearful that if they don't go along with this sort of thing, the left will mount massive campaigns against their brands. So it's a weird combination of cowardice and sanctimony.
Does this signify for the immediate future that these CEOs, or is this just a weekend? You say that some of them were at the Masters, so they were not exactly grave about this. They were phoning it in or zooming it in. Is this the future, Dan, that more and more executives are going to be obliged to say which party they attend?
Well, we shall see. We live in a political country. We still have free speech. Conservatives crack back against this. I've written two columns on it. Coca-Cola, which was one of the participants, original signatories, headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, of all places. They put out a much more thoughtful statement here in the last several days, kind of stepping back a little bit from where they had been previously. The CEO of Walmart put out an official statement under Walmart's name saying it is not their company's purpose to participate in partisan politics. And so it's just possible that as, you know, reality sets in on some of these chief executive officers, they'll see that they have, in fact, become hyper-partisan. And that's not where I think you want a big corporation to be. And I should add, incidentally, John, one of my biggest problems with this is while a CEO is a spokesman for these companies, they employ tens of thousands of millions of people in the aggregate. And the idea that they're expropriating the political opinions of all their employees who surely don't necessarily agree with this stuff is just wrong. It is just wrong for them to sort of position their company and everybody who works for it in a way that produces these kind of counterattacks and boycotts, which ultimately affect the people who work for those companies. That's not what a CEO should be doing.
Boycotts. Because you and I care a whole lot about baseball. Boycotts. Reminding me, your column last week was out front. Many people are extremely unhappy with the All-Star Game and will not be attending or paying attention to it. But I note your colleague, Mary Anastasia O'Grady, brought up a wonderful, wonderful revelation about Major League Baseball and the present regime at Major League Baseball. Bud Selig left in 2015. In 2018, Major League Baseball made a deal with the Cuban regime to exploit the talents of Cuban ballplayers. Mr. Trump's administration blocked it, but they were ready to garnish the income of Cuban players coming to America and return that money. The Major League Baseball would give that money to the Cuban regime. This from the MLB that's being self-righteous about the distorted facts over Atlanta. Dan, it's now a revelation to me that MLB didn't just invent its hypocrisy. It's been practicing it for years.
It has. And, of course, they have struck a deal with a company in China as well to bring professional baseball to China, which has been in the process of absorbing Hong Kong, threatening Taiwan. I mean, we know what communist China is doing these days. The rank hypocrisy is simply stunning. And at some point, people have to push back. That's what I suggested last week. Boycott baseball. Geez, you hate to think America's game is getting in bed with communist dictators, or that to expand their franchises, they have to do that sort of thing. But that seems to be the case. And if that's the case, some of us are just, you know, not going to go out to the ballpark, and we're not going to watch MLB on television or laptops or anything else. Personally, I'm trying to find a college team to follow, John. It's excellent baseball. I highly recommend it to everyone.
Daniel Henniger, he is the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He writes Wonderland. He's also a Cleveland baseball team fan from his youth, as I am a Philadelphia Phillies fan from my youth. However, I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.